We're holding on Dalid Omud Bey's seven lines from the bottom, the last word of the line. We started talking yesterday about the problem of gasus aruach. We're approaching, good morning, Ellie. Dalid Omud Bey's seven lines from the bottom. We started talking yesterday about the problem of gasus aruach, where a person is a baal gaiva. We mentioned that in the first, it was in connection with a pasuk about being mezana with an eishes ish, which is the subject of our masechta after all. And then we digressed to other points about it. So more on that topic. My yod le yod lo yinoke. What does the pasuk mean? It says now the pasuk says in Mishle yod le yod lo yinoke, hand to hand he will not be cleansed. Now this is actually the end of the pasuk that we started yet when we talked about earlier about gasas aruach. We said that the Gemara had said it's keilu overdavod is kachavim and keilu and keilu baal kol harayis, because you have a pasuk in Mishle that says toyavas Hashem kol gvalev, the abomination of Hashem is anybody who's proud in his heart. So now these words, yod yod lo yinoke, are the end of that same pasuk. So now the Gemara is going to douse in the second half of the pasuk. So Omar Rav, kol habo'al eshes ish. So Rav says it means anybody who's mizana with an eshes ish. However, that's one girsa. Hagoy Sabach brings a different girsa, and Maosho also agrees that this is how it should be, is kol sheyesh by gasas aruach, anybody who's proud, and that would fit together with what we were saying before, because again, the first half of the pasuk is saying tovas Hashem kol gvalev, and the second half would be yod le yod lo yinoke. So Maosho in particular points out that baal eishes ish wouldn't be really be relevant over here, because that's not, there is a different pasuk in Mishle that also has the words yod le yod lo yinoke, but that's a different pasuk, and it doesn't really directly have to do with an eishes ish either. Anyway, so a person who baal eishes ish, or according to the other girsa, a person who has gasas aruach, Rashi also has that girsa. Afilu hiknohu laKadosh Baruch Hu shemayim vaaretz kavram avinu. Then this person, even if he caused Hashem to acquire the heaven and earth, like Avram Avinu. Now we find Avram Avinu spent his life teaching the whole world about the Eibishter. So even if a person has done that, even if a person has caused everybody to praise Hashem and to consider Hashem the ruler of the world, like Avram Avinu Dichtiv Bei, whereby Avram uses the word Yod, Harimosi Yodi of Hashem Kel Elyon Kone Shemayim Va'aretz, where Avraham says to the king of Sdoim, I've lifted up my hand to swear to Hashem who acquired heaven and earth. So even if a person has been spending his whole life being publicizing the achdus of Hashem in the world, but he's a baal gaiva, nevertheless, because that's what the pasuk yod le yod lo yinoke means, he won't be cleansed lo yinoke medina shel gehenna. He still won't be cleansed from the judgment of gehenna. Maosho refers to the fact, you know, we have in Pirkei Avos the three midas of the talmidim of Avraham Avinu and the three midas of the talmidim of Bilam Arosha. And one of the ones of Avraham is nefesh shvala, is ruach nemucha. The nefesh shvala is humility, and a person who follows Bilam is the other way around. So we're saying that even though the person has the ayin tova, that he's generous towards Hashem, so to speak, that he recognizes that Hashem runs the world, nevertheless he's lacking in ruach nemucha, and therefore he's going to wind up having to spend his time in Gehenna. However, the Gemara says, Kashul hu l'dvei Rav Shila. However, the Chachamim of the Yeshiva of Rav Shila had a problem with that derasha. Hai yod l'yod lo yinoke. Then why are you using the word yod l'yod, hand to hand? In Avraham's statement, it just says yodi. So yodi mi boile. It should say yodi, my hand, because that would refer to Avraham's harimosi yodi. What is yod l'yod? Means hand to hand. What does that have anything to do with Avraham? Ella Amri Dvei Rav Shila, rather they said in this yeshiva of Rav Shila, it means Afilu Kibol Torah K'Moshe Rabbeinu, even if he received the Torah like Moshe Rabbeinu from Hashem's hand, Dichtibbe Miminoi Esh Dos Lomoi, from Hashem's right hand, the Torah of fire to them. So he received the Torah from Hashem's hand to his own hand, so to speak, yod le yod. Nevertheless, if he's a baal gaiva, lo yinoke medina shel gehenna, he still won't be cleansed of the judgment of Gehenna. And he also, the idea is that Maharsha explains that also, we see that Moshe Rabbeinu did not want to have Hana from the Bizas Hayam, from the spoils they got at the Yamsuf, only what Hashem gave him through the Luchos by giving him the chips of the Luchos, but because he has Gasas Ruach, and therefore in that sense he's like Bilam, then therefore he's going to wind up having to do that. He's going to have to wind up having to go through again. However, Kashile Rabbi Yochanan, still Rabbi Yochanan has a problem with understanding the pasuk that way. Hi yod li yod. Then what do you mean hand to hand? Yod mi boile. It should be hand from hand, because you're saying this person, his hand, received the Torah from Hashem's hand, and still he's a Baal Gaiva, and therefore that's a problem. So then that doesn't fit with the words of the pasuk. Ela, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, so rather Rabbi Yochanan says the Jerusha is different. Even if this person gives tzedakah in secret, which is one of the highest forms of giving tzedakah, and therefore it's yod le yod, he's giving from his hand to another hand, and we know the pasuk says that a gift in secret, meaning tzedakah in secret, covers up Hashem's anger. Nevertheless, lo yinokim in dinah shel gehenim. Nevertheless, he's not going to be cleansed of the judgment of gehenim. So not only the Maharsha continues, not only he's not having hana from others like Moshe, he's going beyond that. He's even giving hana to others, to the poor people. But if he has gasas haruach like Bilam, then he still winds up having to go through gehenim. Okay, the Gemara continues as harol gasi haruach minayin. Where is the warning in the Torah not to be a gas ruach? We're saying all these things, not to be a Baal Gaiva. Where is there a warning in the Torah to not be that? And Maharsha points out also, given that we're saying that there's a punishment of Hashem involved, there has to be a warning. It wouldn't be fair of Hashem to punish a person unless there was a warning someplace not to do that. So where is that? So Omar Rava Omar Ziri, you have a pasuk that says, Shimu vahazinu al tigbahu. Listen and pay attention and don't become proud. So we see, in other words, that the Navi is warning us in Hashem's name to not be proud. Rav Nachman Yitzchok gives a different pasuk, from Chumash. The pasuk says your heart will become proud and you'll forget Hashem. So we see that becoming proud leads to forgetting Hashem. And we know that there's a mitzvah not to forget Hashem, because we have a different pasuk. Hisham l'chav pen tishkachas Hashem. A few psukim earlier, it says, be careful that lest you forget Hashem. And we know that Hisham l'chav pen constitutes a loy seseh. V'chidir Rav Oven Omer Rav Ila, as Rav Oven said in the name of Rav Ila, da'amar Rav Oven Omer Rav Ila, kol mokum shenema hishamer pen va'al. Any place in the Torah where it uses any of these expressions, hishamer, beware, or pen, lest, or al, don't, eina ela b'loisese, then always constitutes a loisese. So therefore, there is a lav to forget Hashem. And in fact, the smag brings that as one of the 613 mitzvahs. The Rambam doesn't, apparently, because the Rambam considers it to be a more all-encompassing mitzvah, like those places where the Torah says, keep all the mitzvahs, where the Rambam says you don't count those as separate mitzvahs. But the smag actually does count it as a separate mitzvah, not to forget Hashem. And so therefore, if gasas ruach leads to forgetting Hashem, then it means automatically you're not allowed to be a gas ruach either. The Keren Oda points out an interesting thing, the reason why we need two different psukim, Shimu Vahazinu Al Tigbahu, and Verom Lovavecha B'Shachachta. One of them is referring to a Talmud Chacham, who thinks that he's the greatest, and the other one is referring to a Baal Avodah, who thinks that he's the greatest in davening. So each one of them has to be beware of Gasas Aruach, and each one, if he does, then there's a problem. Okay. The Gemara continues, Dorash Rav Avira, Zimnin Omla Meshmeid Rav Ami, Zimnin Meshmeid Rav Asi, Zimnin Omla Meshmeid Rav Ami. Sometimes Rav Avira would say this drosha, the following drosha, in the name of Rav Asi, sometimes in the name of Rav Ami, because he learned it from both of them. Kol Adam Sheyesh BeGasas HaRuach, a person who has Gasas HaRuach, a person who's proud, L'Soif Mismait, he's going to end up being reduced, Rashi says that it means that he's going to be reduced from his importance. Different other mafoshim talk about that it may mean from his wealth or from his health. Whatever, he's going to be reduced. Shenema, as the pasuk says, roimu ma'at. A pasuk in Eov says, lift yourselves up a little. So in other words, roimu, when a person lifts himself up, ma'at, then he becomes nismayit, he becomes reduced. The shema is We have to look at the whole pasuk. The whole pasuk goes like this, and then the Gemara is going to dash in it phrase by phrase. The pasuk says, "Roimu ma'at." Let's translate literally. "Roimu ma'at." Lift yourselves up a little bit. Ve'enenu, and then he'll be gone. Ve'humchu, and they'll be brought low, but kakul yikoftsu, and they'll jump away like everyone, and they will be cut off like the top of a stalk of grain. So in the simple sense, Iyov is talking about Rishoyim who live very comfortable lives, and then all of a sudden they get cut off and they disappear. But now the Gemara is going to douche in this pasuk phrase by phrase as talking about what happens to a Baal Gaiva. So Roimu Ma'at. The first thing is there's elevation, and then Ma'at, then there's miut, then there's a reduction. So you're going to say, okay, it's not so bad. At least the person gets to stay in the world. He doesn't actually get removed from the world as a result of this. Therefore, you have instead the next pasuk. The next word in the pasuk is ve'enenu, and he is gone. Meaning, in other words, that as a result of this, he's going to be gone completely. But the im choseboy. But then the continues if he does tshuva. If he does tshuva, nesef bismanoi kavram avinu, then instead he'll be gathered in his proper time, like Avram Avinu. In other words, unlike what we just said, that he's going to be gone from the world, but now instead, because he does tshuva, then therefore he's going to be removed from the world only at his time, like Avram Avinu. Shenema, as the pasuk continues, v'humchu, if they are humble, the word moch, which is the shorash of the word humchu, means low down. So if he lowers himself and becomes an onav, like he should, kakil yikoftzun, then they'll jump away from the world like kol. And that means Avraham Yitzchok Yaakov dichtivu bakol mikol kol, meaning that the comparison is given with Avraham Yitzchok Yaakov about each one. As we say in benching, that it says on them that's an expression of the word kol. So kakol yikoftzun, then the person will be made to jump away from the world, not prematurely, but only in his proper time, like the others. So that's v'humcho kakol yikoftzun. The imlav, and if not, if he doesn't do tshuva, then they will be cut down like the top of a stalk. So in short, in other words, the drasha of the pasuk is that if a person is a baal gaiva, he's going to be reduced in his importance or whatever it is. But if he does tshuva, and he'll be gone from the world completely. But if he does tshuva, then he'll leave the world only in his proper time, like the others. But if he does not do tshuva, then he's going to be cut off like the top of a stalk. So the Gemara says, "Ma'ayu chroish shibolus." What do we mean by the top of the stalk? So Rav Huna v'Rav Chista, chad oma ki sasa d'shibalta v'chad oma ki shibolus atzma. One says that it means like the hairs on top of a stalk of grain. If you look at a stalk of grain, you have on the top of each grain, there grows a tall hair. And then when you look at a distance from the grain, it looks like it has a crown of hairs on it. So therefore, so between Rav Huna and Rav Chista, one of them is saying, we mean like those pointy, prickly things that grow above the stalk of grain. So eventually that dries up and falls off. And therefore, so the pasuk is comparing it to, therefore the pasuk is comparing the Baal Gaiva to that. So soon enough, he's going to dry up and wither and fall off. The other one says it means he's going to be like the stalk, like the grain itself, like the ear of grain itself. So one idea being, in other words, are we talking about the Maharal has an explanation about the idea that Gaiva is the person is becoming greater than he should be, and therefore that results in a reduction. So the two Amiroyim are arguing on what gets reduced, only the extra, which is compared to those bristles on top of the stalk, or are we talking about that he himself gets damaged like the stalk itself? So the Gemara says, "Bishleima lamanda amaki sasa d'shibalta." Well, I understand according to the opinion that it says that the rosh shibolus means the bristles on top of the stalk of grain. Well, then that explains the expression "the top of the stalk," because those bristles are literally the top of it. But if you say it means like the stalk, like the ear of grain itself, what do you mean like the top of the stalk? The ear of grain, what do you mean like the top of the ear of grain? The ear of grain itself grows at the top of the stalk of grain. So then what do you mean by that? The answer is you can compare to a moshel, according to that opinion, to a person who comes into his field to harvest it. He first picks or cuts down the ones that are tallest first. because those are the ones he notices first. So Chorush Bolas Yimalu, so the person who's a Baal Gaiba and makes himself higher than anybody else, he's going to end up passing away before anybody else, like the stalk of, like the taller stalk of grain that gets cut down first. Ben Yehoyada gives an interesting idea about behind it. He says the idea is, usually you have, so what makes it that some stalks, so usually you have a stalk of grain has the ear of grain, has the kernels at the top of it, and that causes, the weight of it causes it to bend down a little bit. But if you have one that doesn't have very much grain in it, then it'll stand higher and prouder. So now when the person is coming into his field, he notices those ones, and automatically he realizes the fact that they're standing higher and straighter than the other ones means they have less grain in them. So he cuts them down first so that those the poor quality grain that there might be in those doesn't contaminate the rest of the rest of the harvest. So it is over here also. The Baal Gaiva, therefore, is compared to that where he gets cut down first. Now, on the other hand, the flip side is the value of the value of another. The Pasuk says, Vesdako Shval Ruach. The Pasuk says that Hashem says he's with the crushed and the one of humble spirit. So again, Rav Huna and Rav Chista, Rav Huna and Rav Chista disagree what that means. Chad Omer Iti Daka, one says that Hashem says, and the poor person, the humble person, is with me. In other words, Hashem is saying, I will raise him up to be close together with me. V'chad omer, ani es daka. The other one says, the other way around. Hashem is saying, I will be together with the crushed person, that Hashem, so to speak, brings down his shechina to be together with that person. But the Gemara says, when we stabber, commander Oman, yes, daka, it's more logical to follow the one who says that Hashem is saying, I will place my Shechina together with the one who is lowly. Because we see that Hashem set aside all the other mountains and hills, and he made his Shechina rest only on the lowly Har Sinai. But we see, on the other hand, that Hashem did not raise up Har Sinai to be closer to him, so to speak. So we see, in other words, that Hashem brings down his Shechina to be together with the humble, rather than lifting up the humble to be together with him. As we know, of course, you know, the various mountains were all contending among themselves which one is the Torah going to be given on, and Hashem rejected all the other ones because he said they're Baal Gaiva and chose Har Sinai. But we see that Hashem brought his Shechina down onto Har Sinai. Continues the Gemara, Omer Rabbi Yosef, La'olam yilmad adam midas koneh. A person should always learn from Hashem's way of thinking and also be an honor. As we just said, Shari'ah Baruch Hu hiniach kol horim gvoyos v'hishu shkenos al har Sinai. We see that Hashem set aside all the other tall mountains and hills and made his Shechina rest on Har Sinai. And we see also, as another example, v'hiniach kol ilonis tovus, we see as another example that Hashem set aside all the nice trees the Hishra Shkinosib is snare and made his Shekhinah rest only on the snare, only on the thorn bush, which is a very lowly bush. So we see another example of that Hashem sets aside his dignity, Kavyachol, in order to appear in the low place. So therefore, so we see a person should learn from that the value of being humble. It's in parenthesis, maybe because that's not necessarily for the Ein Yaakov actually doesn't have it in particular, but it might be Bechlal, because we know there are other, there's more important reasons why Hashem appeared to Moshe in the Sneh. One of them being, as Rashi mentions on the Pasuk, to show Ima and Echibetzara, that Hashem is with the Jewish people in their troubles. So not necessarily is that because of a matter of humility. Continuing on this topic of gasas or ruach, Omer Rabbi Elazar, kol adam sheyesh be gasas or ruach, roi legadai kasheva. A person who has gasas or ruach, who's proud, deserves to be cut down and shattered down like an asheva, like a tree that is worshipped as a bodhisattva. Shenema, as the pasuk says, v'romei hakoyim agduim, the ones of proud stature, the ones who are standing tall and proud, in context of talking about Sancheiriv's officer, gduim are going to be cut down. And the word gduim, uchtiv osim ba'ashereihem tegadeim. You find a different pasuk that says, Hashem tells the Jewish people, when you come into Eretz Yisrael, you have to cut down their asheris, and uses the same shodesh, gimel dalet ayin. So we see, and there it means not just to cut them down, it means actually to rip them out by the roots. So therefore, it means that a person who's a Baal Gaiva is going to be uprooted from the ground like an Asherah. Our show refers to the fact we said before that the person who has Gassas Aruach is as if he's worshiping Avodah Zarah, and that's the connection. We know that Avodah Zarah, you have to extirpate, you have to destroy it completely. Continues the Gemara, V'amar Rav Elazar, Kol Adam Sheyesh B'Gassas Aruach Ein Afore Ninar. If a person has Gassas Aruach, his dust won't be shaken. In other words, when it comes to Chias HaMesim, and all the Mesim are shaking themselves awake and then standing up, he won't do that. He won't have a person who has Gas Ruach, he won't have Chias HaMesim. Tosfos asks, one second, we have a list in the Mishnah and Sanhedrin. And in other Gemaras that talk about the people who are not going to have Tchias HaMesim, why is this not listed among the other ones? Tosfos wonders. Ben Yehoyada actually gives an explanation that it means yes, he'll come by Tchias HaMesim, but the difference is that everybody else will stand up strong and healthy. They won't even remember that they went through death and everything, that they were in the grave. Whereas the Baal Gaiva is going to remember it all, and that's going to help him be humble, because he's going to remember all the torment that he went through when he passed away, and the years in the caver and whatever. Anyway, but the simple meaning is that he's not going to have Tchias HaMesim at all. As the pasuk says, wake up and sing, you who dwell in the dust. So the Gemara says, be'ofer lo nema. Now it doesn't say be'ofer, which would imply just the people who are everybody who lies in the grave, in the dust of the grave. Rather, it uses the expression the dwellers, the dust, which implies misha nasa shochan la'ofer b'chayav. A person, it means a person who becomes a neighbor of the dust when he's alive. In the sense, in other words, just like dust is lowly, the same way the person considers himself lowly and makes himself humble. So therefore, he's the one who deserves. So in other words, Marsha explains, in other words, he remembers that he should be humble because he's made from dust. And other such expressions. So it means that such a person deserves Chias HaMesim. There are places in Chassidus where it talks about the deeper idea behind it, because offer is associated with Malchus. And so a person who's shochen ma'ofer means, in other words, he recognizes his connection with Malchus, he recognizes his connection with Hashem, and therefore he deserves to have Chias HaMesim. A person who has Gassas Aruach, the Shechina screams out about him. The Shechina complains and mourns over that such a person should exist. Shenema, as the pasuk says, the Gavoya Mimerchok Yeyeda. As the pasuk says, the High One from a distance Yeyeda. Now Rashi explains the beginning of the pasuk. It's a pasuk in Tehillim, says, Ki Rom Hashem B'Shofal Yira. Hashem is exalted and he sees the lowly. And then the Gavoya, the one who is higher, Mimercha, from a distance, meaning from before even the punishment comes on him, Yeyeda, then the Shechina is already baklogging zich, is already mourning for him. Rashi explains that the Shodesh Yoda can also mean to break and to break and destroy. So therefore it means that the Shechina already feels broken and destroyed in advance, even before the punishment comes on him. Marsha explains differently, that it means that we're saying that Hashem, the Gavoya, Hashem is high, the one who is high up, Mimerchok, Hashem pushes him to be far away, Yeyeda, and again, like Rashi says, Yeyeda mourns over him. So the Mimerchok means, in other words, not in advance, like Rashi says, but rather that Hashem pushes him far away from him, and Yeyeda, and mourns over the fact that that has to happen. The Gemara continues, Dorash Rav Avira, V'itamer Rav Elazar, Boy Yorei, Shaloi K'midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Midas Bas of Adam. Come see that the Midah of Bas of Adam is not like the Midah of Hashem. Midas Bas of Adam, Gavoya, Royes HaGavoya. In the way it works with Bas of Adam is one who is high up, the one who is high up sees the one who's high up. And not just sees him, but in other words, pays attention to him. The one who himself is in a high position, he himself pays more attention to the others who are in high people, who are in high positions, to try to be close to him. Rashi explained the word roya can mean not just to see, but also to pay attention to and to want to be close with. The ein gavoya roya es hashofel, but in midas basav adam, the one who's high up doesn't pay attention to the lowly one. He has no interest in being close to him. Avo midas hakadosh baruch hu ein akein, but the midah of Hashem is not like that. The midah of Hashem is hu gavoya v'roya es hashofel. Hashem is high up and he sees the lowly and he pays more attention to the lowly and wants them with him. Shenema ki rom Hashem shofel yira, as we have the first half of the pasuk that we just mentioned, Hashem is high up and he sees the lowly. So, and again, we're saying the word yira means not just to see, but to pay attention to and to want to be close with. So therefore, we're saying that Hashem is Ram and he sees and pays attention to the shofel. Continues the Gemara. Omer achistavi tema ma'okva. Hol adam sheyesh begasas haruach. A person who is proud. Omer akadosh baruch hu ein ani v'hu yecholim lodur ba'olam. Hashem says, he and I cannot live together in the same world. Shenema, as the pasuk says, Meloshni Basesa Re'ehu, the one who says Loshen Hara on his friend in secret, Oisei Atzmis, I will cut him off. In context, this is David talking about how he treats people, but we're also meaning to understand that he's doing that the way Hashem does. And he continues, Gvach Inayim Urachav Levav, the one who has high up eyes, meaning that he keeps his eyes lifted up high because he's a Baal Gaiva, or Rechav Levav, and he has a wide heart, meaning again, he thinks very highly of himself. Oisei Lo Uchal, him I can't stand. So in the simple meaning, Oisei Lo Uchal means exactly that, him I can't stand or can't tolerate or whatever. Evan Ezra on the pasuk over there brings a different explanation that it means that that David is saying such kinds, unlike previous Rishoyim that it mentions over there, where they've actually done something wrong, I can punish them. Here, I don't have the ability to punish them because they haven't yet done anything wrong. But anyway, the Gemara is dashing that the Oisei Lo Uchal, I'll take Oisei Ela Itoi Lo Uchal. Oisei Lo Uchal would mean I can't stand him. Itoi Lo Uchal means I can't tolerate being with him. So therefore, Hashem is saying that the Gasruach, I can't tolerate being with him in the world. And therefore, like, so to speak, that such a person is pushing the Shechina out of the world. On the other hand, there are those who explain that Rav Chista Uma Ukva's statement about Ein Ani V'Hu L'Chalim Lodur is not referring to Baal Gaiva, but rather Amasapri Loshen Hara regarding people who speak Loshen Hara, Dichtib Meloshni Vaseisa Re'ehu Oisa Atzmis, because the first half of the pasuk is referring to a person who speaks Loshen Hara. So therefore, so that version says that the end of the pasuk Oisa Lo Uchal is referring to him. And therefore that he's the one, the Baal Lashon Hara is the one who pushes the Shechina out of the world. Moshe says actually it really means both. It means that both of them, that both of them, the Meloshni Vaseisa Re'ehu and the Gvahei Nayim, both of them, or both of them, or the combination of both of them, Hashem is saying, Oisei Lo Uchal, I can't bear to be together with either one of them. Continues the Gemara. Omer Alexandri. Kol adam sheyesh begasas ruach, a person who has gaiva, afilu ruach kima oicharitoi, even a tiny little wind stirs him up. Meaning, in other words, so Rashi explains a tiny little wind would be a tiny little bit of yisurim or a tiny little bit of punishment or something. So puronus kala, Rashi says, and oicharitoi means to rafto umabadoi, it shakes him up and it causes him to be lost from the world. So because he has gases or ruach, he figures everything ought to always go my way. Hayitochan, there's any little thing that happens to me that I don't like, and therefore that completely confuses him and that completely takes him out of the world. Marsha has a different girsa, not oicharitoi, but rather oivartoi. Meaning that passes him over. And Maharsha explains what it means is that the Gemara is going to draw a comparison between Rishoyim and the waves of the sea, which are always churning and raging and threatening to overflow the whole world. But what happens, the Ruach Kima, the little bit of breath of Hashem, who put the sand as a barrier against the water, that prevents the water from flooding the earth. So the same way over here, we're saying that the gas ruach conceivably would be able to destroy the whole world were it not for the fact of the ruach of Hashem, that ivartoi, that passes by him and prevents him from being able to destroy the world. So Shenema, as the pasuk says, by Rishoyim Kayom Nigrash, as the pasuk says, the Rishoyim are like the churning sea. So therefore, so Rabbi Alexander says, you have to make a kavachomer. Uma yam sheyesh bekama revias, madach the sea which has many revias of water in it. because it's huge. Ruach kima echavte, and still a little bit of wind ruffles it up, and now it churns up, and it churns up and deposits mud and everything all over its banks. Adam shein by ela revius achas shaldam. Well, then a person who has only one revius of blood in him. Now a person has a lot more than a revius in him. Tosfos explains what we mean is primarily like the purest part of the blood, which is what sustains the heart. That would be only a revius. There's different other explanations, that including that it would mean the minimum amount of blood that a baby could survive on. Whatever the case, we learned not so long ago in Nazir. We learned a couple of weeks ago in Nazir that is why a revius of blood is enough to be metame a person, is based on this idea. Anyway, so Rabbi Alexandria is saying a person who has only one revius of blood in him, meaning that's the minimum needed for him to live, alachas kama v'kama, how much more so that a little bit of wind ruffles him up, and again, according to Rashi, that a little bit of Puranus disturbs his tranquility and makes him completely go out of his kalim and go out of the world. Or according to Marsha, that the point is that the Madach, the entire ocean, is held back by one thin strip of sand that Hashem placed there. How much more so than the Rishoyim are able to be held back by the word and by the breath of Hashem. Now onto another aspect of Gaiva. Omer Abchiba Ashi, Omer Rav, Tamar Chacham Tzarech Sheyehei Bar Echad Mishmoyda Bashminis. A Tamar Chacham has to have 1/8 of Gaiva. So Rashi refers to that's a very small measure. Elsewhere, the Gemara calls such a measure an Uchla. It's a very tiny amount. In other words, the point is that Talmud Chacham, Rashi says, has to have a tiny little bit of gaiva. You don't want that the Kali Arosh, you don't want that the Chutzpedika you don't want that the Chutzpedika people and the people who treat everything as one big joke. You don't want them to step all over him. You want them to listen to him no matter what. So therefore, he has to have a tiny little bit of gaiva in order to show that he's greater than them, so that they'll listen to him. There's drushes on it also. Marshall points out that the word gas, which is throughout the sugya, we've been talking about gasas haruach, the word gas is gematria 63. So therefore, if a person were to have 1/63rd, then that's already too much. Then he's a gas ruach. But if he has 1/64th, then Rav Chiya Ba'Ashi is saying that that's just right. There's also a vort, I think, from the Vilna Gaon that says that the eighth parasha in the Torah is Parashas Vayishlach. The eighth pasuk in Parashas Vayishlach begins Katonti. So that's the kind of gaiva that we're talking about that the Talmud Chacham should have. The Shmoinish, the Shminish, the Shminis means, in other words, that he should realize ultimately the gaiva is Katonti, that I feel small in Hashem's presence. Anyway, there's also a vort on it that says, we talked about before, about Har Sinai. There's a vort that says if you calculate the size of Har Sinai relative to the size of Har Tavor, it's 1/64th of it. So also hinting at this idea that you have to have a tiny little bit of gaiva. Omer Rav Huna B'Rei Rav Yeshua, Uma Atra Lekisasa L'Shibolta. And Rav Huna B'Rei Rav Yeshua says, when a person has that appropriate amount of gaiva, it crowns him like the bristles on top of the stalk of grain. We said before, you have a stalk of grain, and on top of it, you have those individual bristles that grow out of each kernel of grain. So before we were saying the negative side of it, that a person is a balgaiva, he gets cut down like that and breaks down and falls off like those things do. Now we're saying that an appropriate amount of it is an ornament for him, the way it is for an ear of grain. Omar Rava, however, Rava disagrees, and he says, Beshamta de Ispe or Beshamta de Lesbe. Well, not disagrees completely, but Rava says, Beshamta de Ispe or Beshamta de Lesbe. A Talmud Chacham who has too much gaiva deserves to be in Shamta, which is a severe form of nidui, over Shamta de Lesbe. And also, if he has no gaiva at all, he doesn't even have this Shmini Shibashminis, then also he needs to be in Shamta, because again, then you have the problem that then nobody's going to listen to him, and he's not going to be able to have an influence on the people to tell them to improve their behavior. So in other words, that's a fine line, in other words, that a Talmud Chacham has to walk. On the other hand, Rav Nachman Yitzchok disagrees. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchok, lo minov lo mitzasa. Rav Nachman Yitzchok says, not it and not any little bit of it. In other words, no, a person should not have any gaiva at all, not even that shminij b'shminis. After all, is a small thing that we said before at the beginning of the sugya yesterday, that that it says the abomination of Hashem is anybody who has a proud heart. So you have to stay completely away from it, just like you would stay completely away from anything else, which is teyeva. Okay. Continuing on the topic of being an onav, Amar Chizkiya, ein tefilase shel adam nishmas, elem ken mesim libri kabasar. A person's tefillah will not be listened to unless he makes his heart like flesh. In other words, in various psukim, you have the idea that a person can have a heart of flesh, which means that it's soft and receptive to Elikos and humble in particular, and in connection with the Gemara we're talking about over here. And then on the other hand, you can have the opposite, the Pasuk describes sometimes as Lev Ha'Evan, where a person has a heart of stone, where he's stubborn and won't listen to Hashem. So only when a person has a Lev of Basar, only when his heart is flesh, and then unlike a stone, and then he's pliable and receptive to Elikos, then his tefillah will be listened to. Shenema, as the pasuk says, "V'hoyam midechodesh b'chodesh." Remember, the pasuk says it'll be at every Rosh Chodesh in its time, and every Shabbos in its time. Yavichal basal v'shtachmas v'gomer. Every all flesh will come to bow before Hashem. So why the expression flesh? Why not all people or whatever? It means that a person has to have that his heart, which is what controls his thoughts and his emotions, should be like flesh. So only such people will deserve to come and bow before Hashem. And Omer Rabzeira, Rabzeira says in this connection, also here's another point. Bosuk sibev nirpa. When it comes to now, you have in connection with Saras, you have the you have different kinds of tzaras. You have regular tzaras on skin, and then you have the specific kind that comes on a shchin or mikvah, a shchin place where there's a boil or infection or whatever, some kind of swelling on the, doesn't have to be from an infection, actually, any kind of thing where the skin has gotten damaged by a blow or something, versus mikvah, where it's gotten damaged by heat or fire or whatever. Anyway, so you have different sections in Parshas Tazri. Yeah, we're talking about the different kinds of tzaraach. So Rab Zera points out, Bosuk Sid Bev Nirpa. When you have a section of tzaraach that talks about when there's shchin, when there was an injury of some kind to the skin, and then as it heals, tzaraach develops over there. So the expression in the pasuk is Bosuk Sid Bev Nirpa. It starts with the word Bosur, and then the pasuk finishes off Nirpa, and it's healed. So in context, in other words, the pasuk is saying when there's shchin on the skin, Nirpa, and it heals, and then as it's healing, tzaraach develops over there. But the point is, we have the word Nirpa over there, whereas Adam likes Sid Bev Nirpa. When it comes to earlier, when it talks about regular tzaraach, when it comes to regular tzaras, where it starts off odom kiyia ba'urbasari, when a person has on his skin tzaras, it does not say the expression v'nirpa. So that teaches us when a person is like basar, is pliable, like flesh, and then we're saying humble, then it's much easier for him to be healed from his various problems and yisurim. But if a person is more like odom, where where Rashi points out, Adam is Maloshan Adama, is related to the word Adama, meaning earth, which is much harder. So then if a person is going to be like that, then he doesn't get healed of his Yisurim so easily. So in this connection, let's talk about what the deeper meaning of Adam and Basar is. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, the word Adam itself is Efer Dam Mara. It's an acronym for Efer, which means ashes, which is also very similar to dust. Later on, in fact, in the next parak we're gonna talk about that dust and ashes are very close to one another in halacha. So therefore, the word efer can stand in for ofer, which means dust, dam blood, mara bile. Which is mara specifically refers to bile, which is produced in the liver and stored in the gallbladder. More generally, Marsha points out it refers to the various liquids, humors as they call them in old medicine, in old medical texts, that are in the body that affect the it used to be a common idea in medicine that the respective amounts of those various humors, of those various fluids in the body, controls how the person feels and then the person's mood and other such things like that. So that's why we have in Hebrew, for example, we have the word mara shchora, which literally means black bile, so referring to a person who's feeling very depressed. Anyway, so you have this. So in other words, the idea is a person should realize that he comes from Ofer, he's full of blood, and he's full of Mora. So therefore, there's nothing for him to be proud about. Odom Yisodim Ofer, the fact that he's full of blood, Marsha says, means that therefore he's susceptible to all kinds of illnesses. And the fact that he has Mora means that therefore it's very easy for him to get sick or even to die, Chas V'Shalom, depending on the different seasons, depending what happens to him, the different seasons of the year. So therefore, in other words, a person shouldn't be a Baal Gaiva. And similarly, the word Bosser stands for Busha Srucha Rima, stands for embarrassment. The embarrassment, Srucha is smelly and decomposing, and Rima and wounds. That's all. What's going to happen to a person after, what happens to a person after 120, where, he has the embarrassment of the Yom HaDin, and his body spoils and is eaten up by wounds. So therefore, a person should realize not to be a Baal Gaiva. Ika da'amri sh'oil. Others say that the middle one for Basar should not be srucha, which means decomposed and smelly, but rather the according to them, the third one should be sh'oil, which means sh'oil means the grave, and sometimes it's also used to mean gehenim. Because after all, the word Basar is written with a sin instead of a samach, so therefore we should dash in it as related to a word that has a shin. Continues the Gemara, Amar Rav Ashi, Kol Adam Sheyesh Begasas Haruach Lo Seif Nifchas. A person who has Gasas Haruach eventually becomes reduced from his importance, and he becomes the least important person. So that's similar to what we had before, that he becomes mismanaged. As the pasuk says, "V'las es v'las apachas." At the end of the section of Negoyim in Parashas Metzora, the Torah summarizes and then mentions all the different kinds of tzaras, and it mentions se'es and sapachas. So v'ein se'es el loshen gavoya. The word se'es is a loshen of being high up. The word se'es is an expression of being high up. So the pasuk says, on all the high mountains and on all the lofty hills. So we see that the word sa is related to being put, is related to being high and proud. That in sapachas el tefila, and the word sapachas refers to being secondary. Eliakoyin is in Shiloh, is given a nevuah about what's going to happen to his family as a result of the averus that his sons Chofni and Pinchas were doing in the Mishkan. And the pasuk says that he's warned that eventually his children are going to be so in such a bad way that they're going to have to go beg the Koyanim in charge. Svachenina, let me be appended to one of the groups of the Koyanim in order to be able to eat a loaf of bread. In other words, unlike now, Hashem is telling Eli, now you and your Koyan Gadol and your children are going to be one of your children is going to be the next Koyan Gadol, etc. Now all of that is going to change, and eventually your children are going to be, your descendants are going to be so low down that they're going to have to beg the Koyanim in charge to allow them to serve in the Bis Mikdash so they can at least get some food to eat. So we see that the word Sfacheni means to gather me in. That means to gather me in and to append me to another group. So therefore, so in other words, so with la'seis, la'sapachas, the result of se'es is sapachas, we're saying. Okay, the Gemara continues. Amar Rabbi Shimon Levi, come see how great are the humble people before Hashem. Consider when the Beis Mikdash was standing, if a person brought a korban ola, then good, then he has the reward for bringing a korban ola. Mincha, and if he brings a korban mincha, then he has the schar of bringing a mincha, but no other korban. But a person whose spirit is humble, then Hashem counts it as if he brought all the korbanos. Ion Yaakov points out, because we said before, Hashem is close with the humble person, and that's the idea of a korban, is to bring a person close to Hashem. So Hashem considers it as if he brought all the korbanos. Shenema zivche elikim ruach nishmara, as it says, the korbanos of elikim is a broken spirit. In fact, the Altareva brings in Tanya from the Zohar. Whenever, usually in the Torah, whenever it talks about Korbanos, it usually uses Shem Havaya. Here is the only place where it uses Shem Elikim, because the true Korban that you bring to the Shem Elikim is when a person breaks a spirit and is humble and does tshuva. The loy oid, and not only that, Ela Shem Tfilosinim Eses. Not only that, but Hashem will not reject his tefillah. Shenema, as that same pasuk continues, Lev Nishba V'Nidka Elikim Leisivza, a broken and crushed heart, Hashem, you will not reject. So we see, in other words, that the person gets special help from Hashem, that his tefillah should be accepted. Also, Rabbi Shimon Levi says, anybody who evaluates his ways, in other words, he always considers how he should be acting, and in particular, Rashi says, hefsed mitzvah keneged schara, that he takes into consideration, yes, I'm going to lose out by doing this mitzvah, but how much more am I going to gain from doing it? And therefore, he does it, and vice versa with Averis, zoicha v'roya b'shu'ase shalakarish baruch hu. He will have the schus to see the salvation of Hashem, in other words, that Hashem will help him and save him. As the pasuk says, the one who places his way, I will show him the salvation of Hashem. So we darshan, I'll teach you v'sam el v'sham derech. So don't darshan v'sam, meaning that he places his ways, but v'sham derech, which is meloshin shuma. So he carefully evaluates and considers his ways, so then he's zoicha to the Yeshua of Hashem. What does this have to do with what we were talking about before? So one point is, Ein Elio points out, we just had before the discussion of whether a Talmud Chacham should have a little bit of gaiva or not. And Rava was saying he has to walk a very fine line over there between not having it at all and having too much of it. So that relates to this Hashomer Chosa, where he has to very carefully evaluate what he should do and what he shouldn't do. Okay. Now, getting back to matters of sota, the Mishnah had said, "Ketzed mekane lachola." The Mishnah had said, "How is the husband mekane to his wife?" So we said, if he tells her, "Don't speak with this person," and then she speaks with him, then she's still mutter to her husband. So the Gemara says, "Hogufa," but the Mishnah continues, "If then she's secluded with him, then she becomes also." So the Gemara says, "Hogufa kasha." Now you have a contradiction in that statement to the Mishnah. Amrit, first you're saying in the Mishnah, Omalav Fneshnaim Al Tadabri and Ish Ploini Zeh, he's telling her, don't speak with this person, Alma Dibur Stirahu, implying that the word Dibur by itself, that just Dibur, just speaking, even if they're just standing in the street and talking with each other, is already considered Stira. And therefore, that in other words, if he's using that expression, Al Tadabri and Ish Ploini, violates that and talks with this guy, then that would be enough to asa her to him. Then it sounds like that would be enough to asa her to him. Otherwise, then there's no kinui at all. But then the Mishnah continues that if she talks with him, adayin muteres lebeisa muteres lecho b'truma, then she's still mutter to her household, meaning she's still allowed to have relations with her husband. And if she's a wife of a kohen, she's still allowed to eat truma. So what is the Mishnah saying? Alma dibru loiklumu. So you see that the speaking is not really considered anything. Which Tosfos talks about, it is true that the word dibur conceivably could mean stira. In fact, there's a Mishnah in Ksubas that uses that expression. But still, then why is the Mishnah saying? Then why is the Mishnah saying that she's still mutter? And if it just means actual speaking, then what was the kinui in the first place? So Omer Abaye Hochi Karma. So Abaye says, right, what the Mishnah means is like this. Al tadabri the dibra, it means if she spoke with the guy, if the husband warned her not to speak with the guy, and the dibra, and she spoke with him, or even al tadabri the nistira, or even he warns her don't speak with him, and then she wasn't stira with him. Even so, v'loy klum, none of those count for anything, meaning in other words, because the kinui has to be that he warns her, don't be alone with this guy. Similarly, alti sasri, dibra imay, and even if he warned her, alti sasri, so that's a proper, so there was a proper warning, but she spoke with him, but not in stira, she spoke with him only in the street. Adayin, muteres lebeisa, muteres lecho b'truma, in all those three cases, she'd still be mutter to have relations with her husband, and she'd be mutter to eat truma, because none of those, because either, in other words, either you have no kinui, because the kinui has to be that there should not be stira, and in the first two cases there weren't, or even in the third case there was stira, there was a kinui for stira, but there wasn't actual stira because when she spoke with this guy was out in the street. So in all those three cases, then she'd still be fine. That's what the Mishnah is implying. So on the other hand, where the Mishnah is continuing, if he gave her a proper kinui of to not be in stida with this guy, nichnasa imel beis haseser, and she went into a private place with this guy, v'shasa kidei tuma, and she remained there the amount of time for tuma, which we talked about yesterday, what the amount of the time for tuma is. We had 5 or 6, we had the 8 or so different opinions over there, asur l'beisav, asur l'achol b'truma, then she would eat also to her husband and also to eat truma. So in other words, what the Mishnah is talking about is two different things. When it says al tadabri mishpoini, the Mishnah is implying that that's not a valid kinui because he has to say the word stira. And the Mishnah is also implying that even if he warned her about stira, but there was only speaking, that also wouldn't answer to him. Only if there was warning for stira and then there was actual stira, then you would have the end of the Mishnah, then you would have the continuation of the Mishnah that she's also to him. The Mishnah had said, v'immes, now if the husband dies at that point, after the kinui and after the stira, before she had the chance to drink the soda water, so the Mishnah said, choletzis. So then the Mishnah had said that she gets chalitza and not yibum, if she and her husband didn't have children. So they want to ask Samai, why shouldn't she do yibum? Tisyabim nami yabumi. Why shouldn't she be able to do yibum? I mean, after all, she didn't necessarily do, she wasn't mizana. She wasn't Mizana while she was married to the Yavam. So maybe she's also to her husband, maybe not, but why should that be a reason to ask her to her Yavam and not allow her to do Yibum? And the fact is we don't know for sure that she became Tomei. So the Omer of Yosef, Omer Kro, because the Pasuk says, the Pasuk describes that when a husband sees Ervas Dover, he sees that his wife has been acting in a way of Erva, so then he divorces her. The Pasuk says, V'yotzimi Beisei, she leaves his house, V'holcha V'hoysa V'ishacher, and she goes and marries another man. Now, why does it need to say Acher? Of course, who else would she be marrying other than another man? In other words, Rashi explains, if the point was just to inform us that once she's divorced, she's allowed to get remarried, then the pasuk should say v'hoysa l'ish. It doesn't need to say la'acher. So therefore, it means acher l'ish acher v'lo l'yavam. It means an acher as opposed to a yavam. It has to be an acher, somebody who's unrelated to them, as opposed to the yavam. So the pasuk is implying therefore that the yavam can't be miyabim. Okay, Tosfos points out that the pasuk really is talking about in context. The pasuk is talking about a vadei soita, one who is known to be tamei, and her husband has to divorce her. But nevertheless, we have a different pasuk that tells us that she wouldn't be able to be she wouldn't be able to do yibum. Therefore, we can say that this one refers to the case of Sofik. Okay, so the Gemara says, Omalei Abaya, Elameata, well, by that logic, Chalitza Nami Lotiboy, by your logic, then she shouldn't require Chalitza either, because then, in other words, she's not Shayach to Yibum at all. Omalei, so Rabbi Yosef answers, listen, Ilo Isei Labal, Milo Boya Get, after all, if the husband was still alive, even there's only a suffix over here, even a Vadai, actually, she wouldn't be Mutter without a Get. And that's what the Pasuk is talking about. So therefore, Hashnami Tiboy Chalitza. Therefore, here she needs Chalitza, which is sort of the equivalent of a get. It's not exactly the same thing, of course. There are cases where you need a get, but you don't need Chalitza. But still, they're similar enough. In other words, that if we're saying that if her husband was alive, he would have to give her a get. So therefore, by comparison, he would have to give her Chalitza. The Istam, the others say that Rabbi Yosef said something different. Rachmana Omer v'yotzim v'beisiv v'holcha v'hoysa l'ishachar. The Pasuk is saying that she should leave his house and go and get married, and then she goes and gets married to another man. In other words, delo listed or the beisiv. Why is the husband divorcing her so that she doesn't destroy his house, as we learned before? And Dalad Omer Beis, we said that Znus in the house is like Gimel Omer Beis, we said that Znus in the house, when the woman is Mizana, is like worms that are eating up sesame seeds or whatever we explained over there. So therefore, so he's divorcing her in order to forestall that problem. But after Amar Tisyabim Nami Yabumi, you want to say she should do Yibum? What's the logic? What are you inflicting her on somebody else? Then she's going to destroy his house. And in fact, Tosfos says, listen, the Pasuk says, Asher lo yivne. The whole point is, Yivum is Asher, is to be boiner, is to build up the brother's house. Here, if it's going to cause not building, but destruction, then there's no sense in it. So therefore, so that's a good reason to say that she shouldn't do Yivum. Omale Abaya, so Abaya asks, in that case, in that case, you shouldn't be allowed to marry anybody else, to Latistir to the Base, so she doesn't destroy his house. Omale, so Rabbi Yosef answers him, Mikara minon la le bal kocha. After all, are we putting her on him bal kocha against his will? No. So then, in other words, it's up to him. If another guy wants to marry him, then gesunter hate, you know, we can't stop him. But when it comes to Yibum, where after all, the Yavam has a mitzvah of Yibum, we don't want to have to impose that on him unnecessarily. So therefore, so we should understand that she should do chalitza, but not Yibum. A third version of the argument, the Ikadamri Amr Rabbi Yosef, a Kosev Kore Acher, and a third version is that Rabbi Yosef says, listen, the Pasuk calls the new husband Acher, She'ein Ben Zuge Shorishin, to hint to us that he's not like the first husband. The first one removed a Rishal from his house, and the second one brought a Rishal in and married her when he didn't need to. How could you argue that we make her Yavam do Yibum with her? Why should we force him to take a Rishah into his house? So on this third version, by that logic, then, if he marries somebody else and he dies childless, she shouldn't be able to do Yibum anymore. Because after all, the Pasuk called her, called the one who married her Acher. But the answer is Gabi Dahai, Niva Shame Tov, Hava Kaima, fine, but still that's true. But at least when she was married to the second husband, she still had a good name. She wasn't Mizana when she was married to the second husband. So therefore you can say that she did Shuva. So therefore you could already say that if her second husband dies and she marries a third husband, then you would say that it's no good. But here, like when there was no evidence of Znus while she was married to her second husband, then that's fine. Maybe it means she did Shuva. But we can't force a Yavam to marry her when after all, she has a chazaka being a Risha up to that point, and we don't want to inflict that on a Yavam. So the Gemara will continue. The Gemara will continue with another argument of why it is that she should do Yibum and not Chalitza.